Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dude!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
Okay.
Are you going to play the intro?
A time machine.
Are you going to play the intro now?
No, they don't play it.
We put that in post.
Are you going to play the intro now?
Do you think we play Pee Wee Herman?
Do you think we play that live every week?
She does. She thinks this
gotten
is like
really good.
You guys are consistent.
What's that Prairie Home Companion?
It's like Prairie Home Companion.
You guys hit the same notes every week consistently. That's crazy.
You can tell that we're their two, Mom and I are their two biggest fans. She's much appreciated on Fridays.
Like, hey, what about this? It's just thoughts as you listen.
Yeah.
I was listening to the podcasts from yesterday as I was driving here. It's like 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I text you when I'm in the car.
Yeah.
More times than I care to admit.
More than you probably should.
But there's a pause, and this thought is there.
Blew through a yellow light.
Yeah. You'd like talk text to speech. Ah, dang it.
I never use text to speech because it just never works out.
I'll get into the episode proper. Because we have somebody special here. There's a myriad of reasons why this is a special episode. So let's just get into it. Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And this is the latest episode, the newest episode, and the first episode in Martial Arts Month.
I love it.
Yes.
So for those of you that that maybe
wonderful
don't,
pun,
yeah, I've been walking around saying Martial Arts Month.
Martial Arts.
So funny.
That's the Martial Arts Month.
I am so proud of them.
It's Martial Arts Month,
not Mario Month.
Yeah.
Get it right. Okay. Sorry, sir. I'm sorry.
Astute observation. Yes. So. This is starting a string of martial arts movie talks on the show. And we're not going to go for like the
typical Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee.
Yeah, no,
Jet
no,
Lee.
Yeah, as cool, as awesome as those.
Sarah Lee.
Which mom used to work for.
Yeah, exactly.
Lee Majors.
You got a back way out of here, Santa?
Scrooge. But anyway, so this is the first week of a series of martial arts movies.
Yeah.
So we're, as you've seen, we're going to talk Surf Ninjas. We're going to be celebrating its 30th anniversary. Yes,
very underrated.
With a crew of people that we're excited to get to here in just a moment. But then also we're going to be talking, I don't know if we've announced what else we're doing. Let's do it now. So Surf Ninjas, Sidekicks,
Jonathan Brandis.
You know, I crushed so hard on Jonathan Brandis.
All right. Did I know that? Yeah.
How did you not know? Is it
the movie with Chuck Norgus?
Yes.
It is.
Chuck Norgus. Joe Piscopo.
That's an Andrew reference, and he's not here.
Yeah.
So.
Joe Piscopo is in the...
Chuck Norris.
Joe Piscopo.
We're going to be doing that. We're going to be doing Double Dragons.
Yeah.
With a new guest.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing Karate Kid Part 3.
With a returning
guest. With Dave Little. That's the one with Robin Lively. And the one with Terry Silver.
Which one's the one with Hilary Swank?
That's the next Karate Kid.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the name of the movie. It's not me being a smart aleck.
The next Karate Kid movie.
Big Trouble in Little China would have been fit.
Yeah.
There's not much martial arts in that, though, is there? It's more like...
Not a whole lot.
It's like more like Kurt Russell back alley fighting.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That deserves its own week. Not its own month. That deserves its own month.
That's a great movie.
It's fantastic.
I love that movie
so that's what
Kurt Russell deserves his own month.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, Kurt Russell is... He's been Kurt Russell in it. Since
isn't this podcast about surf ninjas?
No yes. more. Ben's not about the chicanery. He's like, are we going to talk this like, movie
he's
or
like,
not?
He's like, are we going to get back on track?
Let's give the kids okay. the intro.
He's the voice of the audience. He's going, the officiant. Wait a minute. No. I came here for your
he, no, you're absolutely right,
Benjamin.
Ben.
Is Ben is standards and practices.
Yeah, exactly.
We are not used to standards and practices yeah. overseeing.
The lawyers are here.
He's
guys.
Right. No,
the
you're, lawyers a, you're absolutely
he,
right.
He deserves his intro.
Well, yeah.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm a judge.
You just skipped. You just skipped right over the whole lawyer thing.
He
was
there.
Yeah.
He went straight. He's a prodigy.
Yeah, exactly. A judicial prodigy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's very special that we're talking Surf Ninjas for its 30th anniversary. It's special. We're letting you know what's on tap for the month of March, and let's let you know some other reasons why it's special. So joining us for today's discussion, first and foremost, to my left and to the listener's right, our first guest on the panel of guests today.
Yes.
Making her first appearance in 3 years. Because
oh
last
gosh.
Time you were on was when we talked Dutch, November of 2020.
Gosh. I thought it was Huey Lewis in the news.
Well, that was place in Dartmouth, right before COVID.
Yeah.
So that was, it was right, well, it was right before everything shut down.
Right before the COVID.
So
I think there's a correlation.
Wow. Yes. Making her third appearance. We talked Huey Lewis in the news with her. We talked Dutch. Now she's back to talk Surf Ninjas. Our mom is back.
Mom.
Hello.
Hey. You know what? Yeah. I feel like Lucy Ricardo talking to constantly going to Ricky, put me in the show. Put me in the
right.
show. Put
yeah.
me in the show.
No, yeah. No,
when
I was making that comparison,
put me in the show.
Too.
Yeah.
Ricky.
We mention our mom all the time, and of course she's been on the show. We never got to have you on Sucktastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
She has many tales from the Oregon Trail to tell.
Yes,
so.
Yes exactly.
Well, and my name is Donna,
not mom.
But you don't want
to.
But if I called you Donna, if I called you Donna,
well,
you'd be like, I'm
my
mom.
Well,
yeah.
And I had to explain that to Ophelia yesterday. I said,
yeah.
You know, she was looking at one of the gifts that Grandpa gave me and our names. And
dad,
I said, this has our,
yeah, right.
This has my name on it. And my name is Donna. And she looked at me and I said, Grandpa's name is Sheldon. What?
I mean,
what
she
kind
knows,
of name is that?
She knows that I have a name.
Yeah.
And her
I
dad
got
has
a
name,
name.
So you would think, but no, I guess it
but
didn't
you
quite.
Can call me Grandma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not you.
No.
Call me Mom.
I was going to call you Donna.
Yeah. So another one of our panelists today.
Yep.
You've heard him already. He's our youngest guest, but we are
ever.
At the ripe age of 10 going on 11.
10 going on 80.
Yes, yeah. Apparently.
I think you heard the.
Can the buffoonery cease, please?
Yes.
I'm here for a reason.
But we had mentioned in the past couple weeks that we are expecting a very special guest.
Yes.
Joining us on this episode, here he is, Benjamin Kennedy, our nephew, is here. Hello,
hello.
Ben.
Say hello to the listeners, Benjamin.
No, say.
Why should I say hello if they're already here? It's been 11 minutes.
All right.
Is this going to be the whole episode?
Are you going to bust my chops this whole time?
I think he is, yeah.
That's okay. We need someone to reel us in.
Yeah.
And Benjamin's
nice.
Just the man.
He's just the man to do it.
Chopping at the bit. He's got his material.
He is.
You're right. They're already here. Welcome, Benjamin. Thank you for being on the show.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Ben. We can't wait to talk about. We can't wait to talk to Ben because it was his first time watching the movie, and I'm sure there might have been a lot of references that have gone over his head because he was born well after the 90s.
Well, and I want to hear your thoughts
of course,
your first
of course.
Viewing as
of
well.
Course.
So.
And then finally, we saved her for last because we knew that's the way she would have wanted it. joining
Save
us.
Save the best for last.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Our final panelist, this is a historic occasion for her. Her ninth podcast appearance, but her fifth time on the show. And you know what that means, ladies and germs. She is now the newest member.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's certain phrases that would
go over his head,
too.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, making her fifth appearance. Yeah. That means she's now a Radcast five-timer. Finally joining the club, Samantha Kennedy is back.
Hello. Thanks. Here's the deal, guys.
Here's the deal, yeah.
I just have to suggest as host maybe more than lip service. next time, like a badge.
Yeah, okay.
A
trophy.
Treat.
Yeah.
You well, are
a t-shirt.
Ten you get podcast appearance gets you a trophy and you're almost there.
Yeah.
She wants a green jacket.
Because the what? Rules.
She wants a green jacket.
I do want a green jacket.
At the
what's that golf? Is it the golf?
Yeah, the Masters. Yeah.
The Masters. Yeah. I want a Masters jacket.
Okay. All
no, right. I just wanted a Surf Ninja shirt. Especially since my birthday is
you're right
not next week but the week after
yeah there's still some time.
Do you know, and it's a very important birthday.
Yep.
St. Patrick's Day.
No
that's every
that's
birthday
every yeah.
It's a big 4-0.
It's the big 4-0.
Yep.
I will be 40. Okay.
40.
I know the listeners are shocked because they think I sound so
sure.
young. Yeah,
exactly.
Of course.
And
you
most
do.
People, yeah. when they see me, think I look much younger than
I get that
it's
too.
A timeless voice.
I get that too
I
as
do.
Well.
I have a very, yes. mm-hmm. it is mm-hmm. certainly timeless.
Mm-hmm. I got 19 at the gas station the other day.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, really?
I still get carded.
No,
well, yeah,
don't
it's
lie, mother.
Because it's the law.
Don't tell lies,
it has to do
Mom.
With,
no,
yeah.
don't when you tell order lies. When you order liquor on from Schnucks.
Really?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like the delivery person has to.
They have to scan
weird.
Your.
Oh, they
your,
have
yeah.
to
scan
it.
Your
okay.
license.
That doesn't count, Mom.
If we're applying Surf Ninja's logic, who is Rob Schneider, a 30-year-old man,
yeah.
as
gosh,
a high school
yeah.
junior,
yeah.
then
yeah. sure, this
yeah.
works.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
works.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob
exactly.
Schneider well, can play.
They dyed his hair red to make it, you know.
Yeah,
more
youthful.
More believable.
You are
more believable.
You are like Rob Schneider. You have red hair.
Let's not take it that far. Though I have to tell you,
wouldn't I be more like him?
What'd you say?
Wouldn't I be
like You would be more like
You'd
him.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, Ben yeah, would be more like Rob. Ben, you're a young Rob Schneider.
No.
No.
I do often mumble, like, at a... I not mumble. I'm getting old.
Sure.
Because in our house, we like just rhyming and
mm-hmm.
just verbal
oh,
tics
yeah.
and stuff. And so at work, I'll like... I will like mumble rhyming nicknames for different coworkers,
yeah.
and then I'll want to be like, "Hey, I'm like the copy guy," but like
making copy,
another
copies,
Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider.
Yeah,
but nobody where I work
understands the
would
reference.
Know the
yeah.
reference
mm-hmm.
either because they're too young or they didn't watch SNL
yeah.
when they were
yeah.
at that age,
mm-hmm.
like
because
like we
started,
did.
It stood for Satan.
What?
Satan the Night F. Live.
Satan Night Live, mother.
That's the first time I'm hearing that one.
Yeah.
Isn't
I mean,
Satan's
I know.
SNL?
What's his face? Did Church Lady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Dana Carvey.
Thank you, Dana Carvey. Yeah. I used to be able to pull these names out like this, you guys.
Yeah.
It's think, not the yeah. age it's having kids.
It's, yeah. I was just about yeah. to say, like, cut yourself some slack, Jack.
I hear people talk about this pregnancy brain.
Yeah. It
I
never
was,
goes
I was,
away.
I'm surprised
it's
mom
like,
even has a brain anymore.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing. I've been talking about this for years, and
yeah.
I would tell people, you know, they say you lose brain cells every
yeah.
time you have a child. And
dang,
it's like,
Mom.
Literally sucking
should
the life
even,
out of
you. Should they yeah. even let you drive?
Yeah. I got lost coming here.
What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
If we've if you guys already lost your brain cells, so maybe I shouldn't trust you with reminding us all that this podcast is about surf ninjas.
That's an excellent, excellent joke.
Back
yeah.
on track.
Yeah.
Back on
no,
track.
You're absolutely right. That's what I tried to round us with the Rob
Somebody's
Schneider
ADHD
reference.
Hasn't kicked in yet.
Exactly.
ADHD?
Exactly. Don't yeah. sweat it.
It comes out in other ways.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes. So, yes, Benjamin is right. I don't know how many more times my legs are going to get cut off this episode.
Get cut off by
yeah.
a 10-year-old,
yeah.
dude.
Just wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half-year-old? 10 and a half, I'm sorry.
Yes. But he's like Drax. Like, it goes over his head.
Yeah.
Nothing goes over my head. I can't.
My reflexes are too fast.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
fun. Yeah,
but,
I do.
So,
that.
Surf Ninjas, you're correct. Surf Ninjas was released August 20th, 1993. So, in August, it'll be 30 years old. Directed by Neil Israel, starring Ernie Reyes Jr. as Johnny, Ernie Reyes Sr. as Zatch, Nicholas Cowan as Adam, Rob Schneider as Iggy, Kelly Wu as Romay, Tone Loc as Lieutenant Spence.
Is
John-
it Wu or Who? I thought it was Who.
Who's Who? Kelly Who? Kelly Who?
Oh, dear.
Kelly Hu is Ro May, Tone Loke is Lieutenant Spence, John Carlin is Mac, and Leslie Nielsen as Colonel Chi. So
call her Kelly Va-Va-Voom.
I agree.
Did we also go back to the 90s for this podcast?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. We're trying to create a lot of dude speak.
Well, Dad,
We were watching this last night, and Dad was doing his research on his phone. On her.
Oh,
she was a teen? Miss Hawaii? She was Miss Hawaii? It's like, yeah, whatever.
Dad, Dad's a big fan of Hawaii.
Hawaii 5-0.
Pineapple juice is his favorite beverage.
Magnum P.I.
Pearl Harbor. Yeah.
That's why he became a history teacher. It's the 50th state. Wow. No, Alaska. Alaska's 49. Hawaii was 50.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Box office of 4.9 million on $6.2 million budget. The VHS open, which a VHS is what we used to watch movies on.
Yeah, Benjamin. Gotta remember the audience.
I know what a VHS is.
Okay.
Sure. Okay, cool. It was like a rectangular.
There are people my age that don't know what a VHS is. Well,
wait, really?
That's not true.
There are people
younger
that
yeah.
are yeah in
older
the early
you,
yeah
don't.
Early 20s yeah. that don't know the VHS.
Well, I'm not gonna get
is.
Off topic as well. So
okay.
Well, I'm just gonna wait till you guys remember.
Okay.
It's about
all
surf
right.
And just...
Okay. VHS, oh, man. I
can't
really,
wait to hear what you have to say about the movie, Ben. Must be important when you keep reeling us in. I'm getting the stink eye right now.
This is
yeah.
so great. Yeah. Too bad you guys haven't incorporated video. Like,
that's true. We will.
I'm really getting demoralized here. I'm going to start talking
like
slower.
Like mother, like son.
Yeah. VHS open, an advertisement for the Surf Ninja soundtrack. Coming soon from New Line Cinema, Mr. Nanny, which
oh,
we talked
I
about.
That one.
Yeah,
I like that
talked
movie.
About
yeah.
Sucktastic Cinema. Next, a movie called Josh and Sam, about two brothers sick of going back and forth between divorced parents, so they steal their dad's credit card, steal a car, pick up a teenage runaway, and head off to Canada. And the older brother convinces the younger brother he's a strategically altered mutant, or Sam.
Oh,
okay. I'd never heard of this movie.
I've heard of it. I remember when it came out, but I didn't watch.
Like a
yeah.
like a
see it.
Is it a
Martha,
comedy?
Yeah, I think
I can't
yeah.
Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, Martha
it, right?
Plimpton's the teenage runaway. Even though I
yeah,
think
but
she's
she
like 23.
Either way with Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Is it a comedy?
Maybe.
Is it a comedy?
We don't know. We'll have
yeah,
to
we don't,
look
yeah.
it up later. I'm
but
not sure.
Don't get any ideas.
I think he's talking about this podcast. Is this a comedy?
Yeah.
I mean they. They try very hard, sweetheart.
Yeah,
they try
man,
very
we're getting,
hard.
This is getting us used to if we ever get notable for this podcast and getting used to critics.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, are they ever going to get to the subject? Or
oh,
like, yeah.
That makes that reminds me. I actually, this is, I know it's ridiculous and it definitely makes me sound like an old fogey, but I've been listening to a lot more of Michael Rosenbaum's.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And he
yeah.
always talks about becoming a Patreon and, oh, he'll answer messages. I've considered becoming
oh,
a Patreon
oh, yeah.
me simply too. To like plug you guys.
Thank
me
you.
Too. Wow. Like, this is why
excellent.
I thought it makes
our
me
biggest
look
fans.
Old.
Biggest fans.
Why it makes
yeah.
me look old because yeah. this is like, I was like, this is something mom would think yeah. is viable. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Michael,
no,
I love your show. You gotta listen to
my
boys.
You gotta listen to my brothers. Yeah. Michael, I hate pop culture podcasts. I only listen to two, yours and my brothers.
Yeah, baby. That's rarefied air, baby.
Yes, but Surf Ninjas, this is a favorite in our family.
Yes.
And so I'm gonna start mm-hmm. with mom here because she's the matriarch. Yeah. So was this a movie that was shown to... Us being like the three older kids, because Matt and I were only two when it came
mm-hmm.
out on both theater and VHS. But was this something that was on TV, or was it something like you rented and showed all of us? Or
well, I vaguely remember some association Ernie Reyes Jr. with Mickey Mouse Club.
Mm,
that was
interesting
during the 90s. Mm-hmm. It maybe it was something on
it,
Disney Channel.
It was.
Okay.
My bodyguard
like
or something.
My bodyguard.
Okay.
Or so he
yeah,
was
yeah.
the bodyguard so, for, oh, one of those blonde
okay.
actresses, sort of like mid.
Yeah.
yeah. So I probably saw him on that mm-hmm. and then
yeah.
saw this advertised
mm-hmm.
and then probably rented it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Did
and
you see him
like,
in this or Ninja Turtles for Ninja Turtles 2?
I did not realize he was in Ninja Turtles because mm-hmm. that was a movie that I probably stuck in the
yeah.
video
the
machine
yeah, and then just.
And,
and went to yeah. Yeah. Fell asleep. Yeah. Took a nap.
So no, yeah. I did not pay close attention sure. to it, except maybe, you know, Casey Jones. It's like, mm-hmm. oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, bad looking. Also enjoy Casey Jones.
Casey Jones. Elias Cotier in the first Ninja Turtles is a hunk.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
He's my benchmark for Casey Jones yeah. for sure.
So yeah, it was probably good. You know, and Andrew was into Chuck Norris.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
he was, you know, and of course, you know, he couldn't really pronounce Chuck Norris. Yeah. He would say Chuck Norgus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, you know, so it was along that vein, yeah. something he would probably want to see.
Yeah,
and you know.
It's Leslie
Samantha.
Nielsen.
Yeah. So it was one of those things. I probably rented it.
Right.
So it's like, oh, this is a kid that was in this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then I watched it with, it's like, this is funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And something we will say throughout this episode is that Ernie Race Jr. should have been a lot bigger than he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's,
yeah.
he's just,
he was in Red Sonja.
Yeah, he was.
Well, and he was, you know, on Sucktastic did The Last Dragon. And I didn't realize until rewatching it that he was in it. And he was
good in that.
Even back then,
yeah.
mm-hmm. he was amazing.
Charismatic.
Not just his martial arts skills, yeah. but like his acting, his charisma. And like, he's just 30 years too early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like his comedic now, timing. He'd be yeah. massive. But because yeah. he's Asian and it was the 90s, it's like, well, do we need a martial arts guy? Because he wouldn't have been, like, now he could be a romantic mm-hmm. lead. He could mm-hmm. be all so, kinds of things.
And that had probably had something to do with it, but also, like, after Ninja Turtles 2, Secret mm-hmm. of the Ooze, mm-hmm. they saw, New Line Cinema saw that in him and gave him a 3-picture deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But they were in transition at that point. And because this movie didn't have a lot of advertisement mm-hmm. for it, like
yeah. it was fell through the cracks in yeah. the midst of that transition.
Because it was transitioning, and so that led to it failing in the box office, was led to them pulling the
His
3-picture
other...
deal from Ernie well, Race Jr.
Maybe us talking about him
which
now
is a tragedy.
Will spur people on.
I think he's yeah. moved
to
on,
have his
though.
Resurgence, yeah. like the kid from
You're still holding
Temple
out for the Ernie
Doom.
Race Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name, but he's nominated for an Oscar.
Kwan, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have an Encino Man poster here. He was
yeah.
also in Encino
oh, yeah,
Man.
You know,
Brandon Fraser.
I haven't seen that in a long time. I don't remember him in that, so
yeah.
I need to go back
yeah.
and
yeah.
Watch that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, like, I think that's unfortunate because
I know.
Every time you just look at him on screen, you're like, how were you not?
Yeah.
Massive.
He had all
your
of the
skills,
tools.
Timing.
Yeah. Your his yeah his martial arts skills, his acting, his comedic timing, handsome to boot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's a cutie for sure. yeah.
I just love when
I
say
calls,
stuff like that.
I calls
yeah.
it like
cute.
I see it.
Yeah.
I calls
it's
it like
so
I see
cute.
It.
Sorry,
I
probably
like,
saw that.
Hulk.
You know, it's like
yeah.
oh, he's a cute kid. You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Well, not to mention, I think one
game
of
game recognizes game. You know,
so. But like he also yeah. has great like facials too, like
his,
facial
yeah, his
expressions
comedic,
as well.
He's just really, especially while rewatching it now, in the context of having noticed him in The Last Dragon and going,
yeah,
he had that from then.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
How was he huh? not? It's almost like this massive waste of talent.
Yeah. Sure.
You feel
yeah,
like.
Exactly.
Well, and he does break the fourth wall
yeah.
a couple mm-hmm. times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he, you know, it's like, okay. Yeah.
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 I love it. When Ernie Reyes Jr. is the main older brother.
Johnny. Oh,
Johnny. What mm-hmm. do you have any thoughts on Johnny? What you thought of him? And was he funny? Was he...
Did he make you want to learn martial arts?
I already tried to learn martial arts.
Did he make you want to try again?
No.
Well, all right.
Did he make you want to get your ears pierced?
Hey.
And wear hoop earrings?
What about surfing? Did you want to try surfing after seeing that?
No.
Well, do you have
There's
any...
A man
How do you feel?
Gun.
There was a man with a harpoon.
That's not the norm when you go surfing, though. So I don't think you have to worry about that.
Do we know, did he actually do his own surfing?
That's,
I don't,
yeah,
well,
that's not
going
to surf. Well, if I'm going to surf and ninjas are going to come after me, then I'm definitely not surfing.
Well, yeah. Well,
that's
yeah.
why you got to learn the martial arts and then the surfing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if I learn martial arts and surfing, then more ninjas will come after me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just, the more you learn, the more enemies you make. It sounds like
the more you do.
That's why I don't want to learn anything. thing.
The more you know.
but upon first watch, Benjamin, did you like the movie? What did you think?
Tell us your thoughts and impressions. Please. You've been hassling us to focus on the movie, so tell us your thoughts. You got any thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sign up for Patreon to hear them.
If I didn't have thoughts, I wouldn't be saying anything.
No, you're right. You're right. Well,
go ahead. We'll wait. You just go ahead and tell us. You take your time and mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that I thought that their friend, the Iggy, whatever.
Yeah,
Iggy.
Yeah. Yes, Rob Schneider.
Yeah, Iggy. I thought Iggy, when he was first in there, I thought with that knife, I thought, oh hey, is this gonna be some bad guy. That ain't even gonna be a ninja. That just gonna be someone else. Yeah. I don't even know who it is, but it's probably gonna be someone. Yeah.
Which works because that's the impression they try to give off. Because at the beginning of the movie, and we'll of course, if you're listening, you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
More than likely, yeah. But we'll also kind of summarize a little bit what it's about. But yeah, at the beginning, right off the jump, you're starting to see like these bad guys or ninjas kind of like covertly like sneaking around. California or this beach town that these two main characters are in, and all you see is like a knife being pulled out of a knife block, and
the way they frame shots and the music makes the audience think like, oh, something bad is about to happen. Yeah.
Johnny and his brother.
You didn't think something bad was gonna happen? And what did you think?
Since they're the two main characters, nothing ever bad happens to the two main characters.
Which is
that's valid.
That's a very valid point.
Something like this.
And if you didn't feel that way, however action movie goes. Sure. Well, and if you didn't feel that way, like that's fine. But like the way they the filmmakers framed it, that was meant to be
like
the reaction that they're supposed to get from the audience. Mm-hmm. Even if you thought so or didn't, like that was kind of the intention of the way that they did that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So that being said, going back to first times or history watching it, what would you say? Can you corroborate kind of what Mom said there, Samantha?
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long. I don't know. I couldn't tell you the first time.
Yeah.
I just know we watched it so many times. Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was one that, if not rented, it was on the movie channels or on television.
Probably owned it. Yeah.
It's one like as a kid that as you grow up, you in your brain, you're like, oh, this is something me and my family watched. Mm-hmm. And then when someone makes a Surf Ninjas reference or they mention Surf Ninjas, you're like, you know what Surf Ninjas is?
Yeah.
You know
what
that is?
I actually haven't met anybody like that.
but on the internet now and Instagram, still, you're like, you'll see like a Surf Ninjas post on Instagram. You're like, other people know what that movie is? We work with. Does Derek know what Surf Ninja is?
I'm pretty sure.
Our friend Tyler Strickland grew up watching Surf Ninjas.
I want to make a note here that I meant to say it right at the top here. You mentioned Tyler. For those of you that have been listening to us since the very beginning, our second episode or our third episode was 90s Ninja Movies Part 2.
Mm. Yeah.
And we did it with Tyler Strickland.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about Surf Ninjas and Three Ninjas. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure to get that out there because, again, for if Tyler's listening or if somebody who has been with us since the beginning besides Samantha and Mom and a handful of other people.
Or if they want to go back and listen because they like 90s Ninja movies.
It was 110 episodes ago.
This was right beginning April 2019 is when we put that out. So it was our third episode, part two of a 90s Ninja discussion where we talked the Ninja Turtles movies, Three Ninjas and Surf Ninjas. So we rehashed Three Ninjas last summer with Jeremy Weed for its 30th. Yeah. And then this year we're doing Surf Ninjas. So if some of this stuff's sounding familiar from us, it's because we did this with dear friend Tyler Strickland.
Unpopular opinion: my favorite Ninja Turtles is Ninja Turtles 3.
I love Ninja Turtles 3.
It's fun.
It's not my favorite, but it gets far far more flack than I think it deserves. For sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of like for us. Like I remember when Mom bought the DVD.
Yeah.
Or it was either rented later. So I remember being really young and bits from it, like the Baba Ram part at the beginning where they're doing Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys or Leslie Nielsen or certain moments I remembered like as flashes.
Yeah.
And then when we got a little older and it was either on TV or The video was rented
for
maybe like the millionth time. I remember sitting down and watching it, but I remember really sitting down and watching it when we first got the DVD and being like, oh, I remember this movie from when I was a kid, like bits of it. I'm going to sit down and actually watch it.
Right.
And I watched it. And I feel like you bought something else that day, Mom, because it's one of those things sort of like whenever I think of the Ninja Turtles VHS that we had, Matt and I did growing up. I also think of Ghostbusters on DVD because you bought those the same day.
It's like a $5 bin.
I don't know. Yeah. That's one of those brain cells I lost.
Well, sure. I'm just saying in general.
That
like,
popped out with when I had Tyler.
And that was 25 years ago. Essentially, like Surf Ninjas is something that I remember watching more when it came, like earlier on when it came out on DVD.
Yeah. And it's infinitely rewatchable.
It really is. Yeah. I'm always surprised I enjoy it.
Every single time.
I would watch this multiple times, whereas the Three Ninjas.
Once was more than enough.
Exactly. And that's a movie, you know, I would put in for you guys.
Yeah.
And I would go in the kitchen and drink. So,
No.
That tracks.
I
was probably in the kitchen doing dishes because we didn't have a dishwasher.
Drinking dishwater. out of that pail you put in alcohol.
Drinking dishwater.
You'd fill up that pail in the sink, and that's how you'd wash the dishes, and then you'd kind of sneak a few sorts of soapy dishwater.
This has got to have some kind of psychological effect.
What does dishwater mean?
I was trying to say dishwater, and I got all marble mouth.
What is dishwater? This sounds like
a Limp Bizkit album.
It sounds like you're a
dirty dishwater.
Benjamin's commentary sounds like notes that an English teacher would put on a paper. What is dishwater?
Back to the point. You know, Dershwalla, the band, Dershwalla.
Stick to your thesis. Yeah. Support your thesis.
It's just a point,
Benjamin,
question mark.
You're like your grandpa.
but all these things
it's
that you're saying, how like
too.
It's... This is a movie that gained popularity on VHS and on TV because they only played it in like 1,100 theaters.
Yeah.
So like, and if the marketing wasn't there, maybe you would see like not even the poster. You'd be at a theater and maybe see the listing like above something else in 1993, like Jurassic Park.
Was
and
this
then
a Disney
Surf
production?
Ninja.
No.
Okay.
It was New Line Cinema.
Okay.
They also did Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Or the Three Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was something that gained more popularity on VHS, and I hesitate to say cult status, but I would say it's a cult classic.
Yeah. You know what? That, like, I should be suggesting episodes, but, you know, maybe you should do an episode sometime on the almost a scholarly episode on the effect of
cults.
Oh, not just cult of Waco. Cults. Yes. Waco. We can sit and talk about that.
Yeah.
No, Heaven's but Gate. Like. Home movie.
Yeah. The new life is game.
Yeah.
Because like this reminds me of the last time I was on and we talked, I don't
Bride.
Know if we talked about how Princess Bride, they screwed up the marketing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so despite it doing well critically, like it did not find its life until VHS started happening and people would buy it at home and give it as gifts. So
many similar stories.
Really interesting.
Big Trouble in Little China's like that too.
Well, it's like this movie is like our family thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's our property.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked when anybody else knows about it.
It's just such a family thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's sort of like and it's kind of fun because, you know, it's another way that I'm getting old that it's like, you know, when we all got together at that house on Thanksgiving and like showing my kids.
Yeah, Dennis the Menace.
Like as a family, we showed them Willow. We showed them Princess Bride.
Yeah.
We showed them
Dennis the Menace.
Dennis the Menace. And like, you know, now here's my son doing, you know, surf ninjas. And so, yeah, that's one of those things where it's like, that's
wild.
I'm not surfing and I'm not a ninja, so I'm not doing surf ninjas.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Literal here.
Oh, and he knows it, too. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows.
He's got that wit.
Every time he says something, we're like, ugh. And Ben has this smirk on his face.
It's like he knows what he's saying.
That's an improv that's called blocking. You're blocking.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
What are you talking about? Sky's not
we're
clean.
We're yes-anding right
we're
now.
We're supposed to be yes-and. He hasn't learned. He's doing the instinctual thing.
Yeah.
You have to learn and practice yes-and.
He's just giggling. He's just giggling right now.
Uh-oh. Because he realizes what he's doing. Here we go.
His facade is breaking. He's trying to keep this character of being like you're like Roger Ebert or another other critics. I'm going to read a critic's kind of critique of the movie. Paul
comedic instincts. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Paul Sherman from the Boston Herald. Like
his criticisms are probably what's the best part of the movie.
And that's exactly why I pulled his critique over anything else. Paul Sherman thought that Surf Ninjas was little more than succession of dude speak, surfing, skateboarding, video games, generic rock soundtrack, and strained knucklehead humor.
I was failing to see the issue.
That's what makes it great. That's why we like it.
That's what makes it appealing for kids is because you have this is still off the heels of the hot property that is. And still, that was and that is Ninja Turtles.
This is still
the early
Ernie
90s.
Ernie Reyes Jr. is a human Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, he is.
The 80s and 90s, especially for kids, this was the kids' renaissance of karate and martial arts and ninja movies.
Yeah, fun karate for kids that make kids. Well, and you know what? It's like, well, what the heck do you think the Three Stooges was, man?
Yeah, it's slapstick. It's knucklehead.
Slapstick. Right. You know, in
any
whatever.
Of, any of the menace is undercut by silliness.
It's Leslie Nielsen is the bad guy.
Yeah, it's something kids can watch with their parents. It's one of those movies where there's humor there that kids aren't going to get. But the parents will understand, like the answering machine.
Well, no, but listen, that's more like because you got it and I got it they get it, but like my kids will never get it, and that has more to do with like that's a very
what am I never gonna get.
So remember in the cave when the bad guy like kept running to answer a phone and it would go to the answering machine and it'd be so frustrated.
He's always really far away from it
from the phone. Well, you don't know about that because you've never seen a landline or a cordless phone or an answering machine. These are all things that that when we were kids, like we didn't have cell phones when we were kids. Yeah. I had my first cell phone at 19.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Grandma had a cell phone before that, but it was this massive Zach Morris type thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know who Zach Morris is. But that's fine. So it used to be that your telephone was in one room. Mm-hmm. And you had to, when it rang, you had to get to it.
Hustle, before it went to the
answer. You didn't have caller ID.
You didn't have caller ID. You didn't know who it was going to be. Right. And maybe you had answering machine.
I know what that is because Miss Karen has one of those in class.
So you kind of know, like, there were more times where you would, like, miss a call. Like by accident, not on purpose, like we do now.
Right. Yeah. Constantly Googling phone numbers. Yeah. See, like, who's this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to mention some of the things that they take the teeth off of, you know, Colonel Chi, who Leslie Nielsen's character, who's essentially like this is Japanese, but he's essentially like this gaijin.
Yeah.
And who's like this warlord who takes over Patusan, which is eventually where Johnny and Adam learn that they're princes of. So before I get into more of the moments that kind of undercut the menace. Mm-hmm.
Because
so,
it's a very menacing situation.
Yeah, sure.
He's a warlord.
I was just about to say, I want to kick it over to Samantha to give us a synopsis. Yeah.
Well, he's a war. So Leslie Nielsen's character is a warlord.
Yeah.
All his scenes either take place in his like den of evil where there's people laid out in torture or in cages.
Yeah.
And then at one point in the movie, in the later half of the movie, when they're in Patusan and they come to this village that's been devastated.
Yeah.
By Leslie Nielsen's character. These are all awful, awful things. Mm-hmm. And yet, they don't really carry too much. I mean, I think probably the most serious and sad it gets is when they when you see the people whose village has been decimated, and they sort of
Why did they keep them alive? And then Tone Loke's like, so there were people left behind to talk about it.
And
that's one thing I probably didn't pay attention to.
Yeah.
When, you know, casual viewing and, you know.
Rob Schneider's constantly like, cracking jokes.
It's like, okay.
Right. Yeah. But a lot of that stuff starts to, as it shifts, though, they do tone that down.
Yeah.
Right.
As they start to, they do. Tone Loke disappears for like a really good portion of
Then he comes back and he's okay, and he's okay
and
with
like,
everything. Which usually gets on my nerves, but I love it in this movie. I think he's a wonderful addition to their little ragtag group of
revolutionists.
The little ragtag group of revolutionists.
He disappeared on Pontusan, though.
Yeah.
He just, there.
It was probably too hot.
Wasn't there.
He wasn't at, so Tone Loke on set constantly, because they filmed a lot of this in
Thailand.
He constantly got.
Common sense. Maybe he's not there because he has common sense.
He has common sense.
Very true.
Exactly.
I don't want to be a part of this.
He caught the first boat back to L.A.
He said, I'm tired of this.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to have fun.
It's all right. It still worked.
But Tone Loke actually was sick quite a bit on set
because
Thailand didn't have like proper catering, so they just had like a big vat of rice and like so they eventually had stuff to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So he just made a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, that's so
hard. That doesn't explain why his character isn't there anymore. Yeah. But it's just kind of like
we wrote it into his character.
But maybe it does. Yeah. Maybe they just had to get it moving, and Tone Loke wasn't able to keep going because he was sick.
Yeah. So why don't you explain a little bit what the movie is about? Just
so
a general
synopsis. I actually wanted to kick it over to our five timer.
Oh yeah.
See if you could kind of give us a little synopsis of the movie.
Five timer?
Me.
Your mom.
She's been on
this podcast five times. I've been on their podcasts in general. What did you say? Nine times.
Nine times. Wow. Yeah.
I've only been on twice.
Yeah, well.
This is three.
Maybe you should think about why. Yes.
Ricky, put me in the show.
Yep, see, you got it.
Babalu.
I forgot what I was doing.
Just a real quick synopsis of the movie.
Ernie Reyes Jr. and the kid whose name I don't
know. Nicholas Cowan, Adam.
Okay.
It's two brothers.
The other guy.
Yeah.
So it's two brothers, and they have an adopted father, and they live in L.A., and they're like surfer bros.
Yeah.
And Rob Schneider's sort of like comic relief buddy, and
Iggy is
very
Ben
quickly.
Yeah.
Yes, very. There's also a guy with an eye patch, so it all opens with all these characters, and there's this guy with an eye patch, and it's like WTF.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So quickly we learn that they are actually orphans.
Orphans.
It's pronounced orphans.
I know.
It's an inside joke. It's a reference.
It's a different reference.
Look at us defending ourselves. Yeah. Okay, so it turns out they're orphans of some kingdom named Pontusan. Mm-hmm. And so the first half of the movie is... what's his face? What's his name?
Zatch.
Yeah. Zatch, the guy with the eye patch.
Zatch with the patch. Yeah.
Who we find out later is their uncle. Trying to get them.
Spoiler alert.
Mom. We established that most people who are listening to this have seen Surf Ninja.
Whatever.
Maybe aside from
she's
my girlfriend, like everyone who is listening to this.
She's just excited because she learned what spoiler alert means. Yeah,
exactly. Just saying it at everything. Yeah. I got to go to the bathroom. Spoiler alert.
Drive by a car that's been modified. Oh, spoiler alert.
Uncle Steven will turn it down in post.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler alert.
You know what? I thought you guys had the classic double laugh. I think we may have.
We may have just nailed the classic double laugh. You guys definitely.
I know that I sound like mom when I laugh, but now it's like.
The whole Webster family.
It's like stereo. Stereo right now.
Yeah.
Mom and I just did.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Mother daughter squeals. Crazy.
It's wonderful. Yes.
I know. Spoiler alert, we've gone crazy. Okay, so. Oh, so they're trying to get back to Pontusan. Kelly, whose character is. Oh, well. Because first in LA, there's Little Patusan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they go there first.
To, yeah. Because their adopted father, Mac, is kidnapped.
Oh, that's right. He was kidnapped.
Zatch tells them about their destiny and all that stuff. And
all
they're
the
like,
stuff.
What? No way. Dude.
Colonel Chi. Yeah. This whole time at the end, the first.
You guys should have just done that. And the
first 25, 30 minutes of the movie, we're seeing these ninjas randomly pop up.
Yeah.
And, in LA.
And
trying
this
to get
whole, the
kill
whole time,
the boys.
Anytime Zatch is about to show up, he gives these bits of exposition.
Yeah.
And part of his is.
Through narration,
yeah. And Colonel Chi, Leslie Nielsen's character, is this foreign warlord, who takes over Patusan, like 16 years before.
Previous,
yeah, it's their
movie.
Destiny to basically return it to peace and start a revolution
or
and overthrow
11
him
years. Because Adam was a baby.
Kelly, who is the. You know, she's supposed to marry Ernie Reyes Jr.'s character, and
per arranged marriage.
She ends up in the group going back to Patusan, and
Tone Loke is a police officer, a police lieutenant,
LA police
who's like
detective,
assigned to watch them because of all these weird things that are going on in L.A.
Well, and because he met, and because their dad is their adopted dad is missing, and so he was worried. You know, like he was assigned to the case, and there was just too much weird stuff. So Tone Loke's like, So he accidentally gets taken to Patusan with them,
through like several series of events. They're very skeptical, but then like Johnny's this like warrior, and through several scenes, like he's like, "No way, dude!"
Scene in the whole movie in Little Patusan. Are we not talking about this yet?
So I just want to say real quick, part of what Zatch tells, because Johnny and Adam think he's BSing. They're like, listen, we don't care about we don't care about your Patusan. We don't care about what you are telling us our birthright
is.
We
just want our dad
back. We want our dad back. So that's the only reason we're listening to you. But essentially, Johnny is supposed to be this warrior prince, and Adam is supposed to be this seer prince.
Prophet seer type.
And we see Adam with this Sega Game Gear throughout
Sega.
The movie.
And I
love how they show that Adam is becoming this seer as he's playing
through video games.
He's playing this video game, and he's like, oh, funny, I thought this was Shinobi.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what's this game that comes on? And essentially, anytime an event happens on his video game, the event's about to happen.
Yeah.
So,
so he
him,
can control
that's
that.
Him
yeah.
being a seer. Yeah. And then the part in Little Patusan where we see Johnny becoming this warrior.
Yeah, he doesn't know martial arts before this. Best
the
scene
character.
In the whole...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, obviously the character.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The best scene in the whole movie, Ernie Reyes Jr. is... Any word I use sounds trite for how amazing he is. Mm-hmm. Because... for him to have such control over his body that his face is saying one thing and his legs are saying something else.
Like
because
the
like
confusion on
all
the
of a sudden
face.
The character is able out of nowhere to do these amazing martial arts. And Ernie Reyes's face is like,
What's going on?
And my arm and leg are doing all these things independent of me. But he was so good, so convincing.
Yeah, what really helps, because Zatch, the character Zatch, the guy with the eye patch, is actually played by Ernie Reyes Sr., who's
his dad in real life,
obviously. And Ernie Reyes Sr., expert martial artist in his own right, is a fight choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
So Ernie Reyes Jr., anytime Ernie Reyes Sr. had anything to do with the movie, Ernie Reyes Jr. is almost always in the movie. So he's growing up around not only martial arts, but how to construct.
He was in the, you know, anytime he works with his... You can tell they have this connection.
But how to like choreograph martial arts, like for film and stuff like that.
Ben, do you remember that part where Johnny
they're in the restaurant.
Yeah, he has the ninjas coming around him to attack, and then the ninja is about to kind of strike down on him, and he stops a strike.
And then the music, he
looks really confused, and then the dun 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 dun
starts playing. I don't really remember the music, but I remember that he looked very surprised.
Yeah. Which is part of the fun of that scene.
I wouldn't be very surprised because I always know that the main character wins. And if I was in his position, I was the main character, I would have definitely won as well.
Mm-hmm. All right,
oh, absolutely!
Downer.
Yeah.
Well, that's what main characters do.
No, you're absolutely right, and you're applying that kind of movie logic to it.
But how did
movies
you
like
feel when you saw that? Yeah. Like, what did that make you? Did you feel excited? Did you feel, oh, that's kind of cool? That's funny. That's neat. Like, what did you feel when you saw that? Was it exciting? Because like the last half of the movie, you were bouncing all over the house, like you do when you enjoy something, and so I wasn't.
That was pretty fun.
It's a fun movie.
It is. It's a fun movie. It's a fun scene. I think it's done really. It's very cartoony the way he finds out and his movements. Like you said, Samantha, the body control. So like you can tell he's very tight and like his leg is like
his legs are shaking.
Yeah.
He's like, what's going on?
And he starts like, what?
I wondered, how are they going to explain that this kid who's never taken a martial arts class can all of a sudden do martial arts? And I thought the way they did it, you know, was
The way they explain it's enjoyable. He's like, I don't want it. He's like, well, I don't know martial arts. He's like, essentially in a way, like, because it's your destiny, it'll click when it needs to.
In real life is nonsense. Oh, but sure. Great movie. I love it.
Anyone else would be like, well, that's kind of lazy. It's like, well, it's a good way.
Because Ernie Reyes Jr. sells it.
We can't waste time watching him learn. Like, there's a few scenes to where he's honing his skills.
Right.
But let's just say, because it's his destiny, basically, it'll
right.
No pun intended. Well, kick in when it needs to.
Well, and I think they kind of jokingly reference maybe some of the Karate Kid moves.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, you kind of see that.
Typical,
you know,
like martial arts, stuff you'd see in these movies or things that Ernie Reyes Jr. maybe in other things before this. You're like, oh, that. Or he was the double for Donatello in the first Ninja Turtles. And he's Kino. So you're like, and Ninja Turtles 2 came out before Surf Ninjas. Uh-huh. So you're like, oh, that's... it's very Kino.
There are so many things in this movie to where storytelling wise, I'm like, good enough for me.
It's just the truth that if you do something well enough, like if you're gonna take that risk, you better nail it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did.
Sell it.
Yeah. If you say no pun intended, you don't really have to say no pun intended. You really just have to use different words for it.
What do you mean?
Like, instead of saying kick in, you could say...
Oh, he's saying do better.
Oh, right, no.
He's saying, just don't use puns then.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. See, sometimes in comedy, you fake stupidity for comedic effect. just a faint...
You think that's funny?
Yes. Sorry, Professor Highbrow.
Student lowbrow.
All of you seem to be forgetting whose studio this is.
Look at that grin. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
What does Dad call that? A shit-eating grin?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Bentley, a very like wry that. Smile.
Yeah. Got a little verbal jousting going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so that we've explained, like, Colonel Chi, though, and not just with Colonel Chi, but any of kind of menacing situations are lessened by comedic outcomes.
Yeah.
So these ninjas, they're dispatched in comedic ways.
Right. Yeah.
Colonel Chi has the answering machine bit. Colonel Chi, with where his phone is, there's also this little like nook he has it as a recliner and like a putting green.
Yeah.
And then half of his face or half of his body's like electronic, so
he
doesn't want to
get it wet.
It shorts out.
Like near the end of the movie, one of the things that's menacing is he's wielding a gun at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like he has like a handgun and then he's like an AK-47. He's pointing at Johnny, but he doesn't shoot Johnny
because
he's short-circuiting.
Yeah.
And then eventually the way he's dispatched is he's pushed into a body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But one of the way he became that is because there's this flashback scene to where we're learning about, like, Pa Toussaint.
We get the full exposition.
There was this 4,000 years of peace for Pa Toussaint, and then General Chi showed up and took everything over and became this dictator, and so it's the destiny of Johnny and Adam.
Gets his head crushed by an elephant.
General
Chi.
General Chi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More like General B.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Because he gets buzzed? I don't know.
That's not what I was intending.
Okay. Well, all right. That's more of a contemplative joke.
General Chi, But General Chi, though, you're seeing kind of Zatch in the flashback situation has become like this watcher. He's become... before we know he's their uncle, he just seems to be this person who is entrusted with watching the kids. And then we see
he's a royal guard.
Yeah. Like in the words of some of my students,
Or is he?
There's always a sense of mystery to everything.
Well, because you sent that text the other day, and I've never in all these years ever once thought this. When you were like, isn't it interesting that Johnny looks like more like Zatch than his dad? And I was like, and like the original king dad, not the white guy dad.
And I was like,
I just... Because I knew that it was father and son actors. I never once did that cross my mind.
No. Maybe the queen is getting a little lonely on nights where the king's visiting some dignitaries somewhere. I don't think so.
I don't know.
I need to read the room and be reminded of. We have a 10-year-old.
I'm gonna
pull a Ben here and be like, I don't think so.
You're right. I'm just being saucy.
But one of the things, it's a quick watch. Like, it's a quick movie.
It is.
It's rewatchable. It's fun. You have fun the whole time.
That's the thing. It's supposed to be an entertaining movie for families and for kids because it's off of the backs of the martial arts boom, the kids martial arts boom.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff is unwatchable for anyone except a small age frame of people.
But then also it also shows that a critic's opinion, if you look too much into a critic's opinion, they're being critical and
their job.
They're fitting so many things into one mindset.
Yeah.
Right.
When you should listen to the masses. Listen to the people who watch it and
listen
enjoy
to this
it.
Podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and take the movie into its context.
Sure.
Like, you don't watch Surf Ninjas and critique it as if it's The Godfather.
Yeah, you're watching Surf Ninjas.
You're watching Surf Ninjas, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Put it in context.
Well, Rob Schneider's 30 years old playing a high school junior.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, and he makes it believable.
I mean, he's a sense of humor, sure.
I found his character very amusing.
The thing is, Rob Schneider. We don't like Rob Schneider on the show, but I'm thinking too much in the context of the now.
And
we also don't have good experience with him because on Sucktastic we did Judge Dredd. He's absolutely insufferable in that movie.
But there are a lot of movies
in this movie when there's a time and a place and it's kind of worked to his comedic stylings, because he helped kind of with rewrites of this movie, because this was kind of a straight up, there was more straight up action. The director wanted to focus more on he put more of his effort into the comedic bits.
And the comedy's great in this movie.
It is. There's a lot of strange, one-off, jokes that I'm like, I like how random that is.
I laugh at it, and I'm like, oh, the characters didn't draw any attention to that. That was for me, the audience.
Him and Tone Loc.
Yeah,
I mean,
Tone Loc
is
great
in this
movie.
I love Tone Loc.
Tone Loc and Zatch do such a great job to show how much they've just had it up to here with Iggy.
With these children.
Mainly Iggy, because he's the one who's always cracking wise and cracking jokes. But back to Iggy and Rob Schneider in this movie, I'd say 75% of the time, I feel like the jokes are good.
Right.
They land. They are funny. I found myself being damn it, I don't want to laugh, but that was funny.
I don't want to laugh at Rob Schneider,
but that was funny.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where, me personally, I felt like some parts with Rob Schneider, not with anybody else, but some parts with Rob Schneider, because it's like every breath he takes, he's cracking a joke. So I feel like some of it was do they have a quota that they're trying to meet? Because it feels like he's inserting or forcing certain jokes in situations. So there are jokes most of the time that actually work and are funny.
Yeah.
But other than that, sometimes I'm like,
because usually with that character archetype of the comedic relief.
Yeah.
Within a story, there's joke, but then there's some sort of serious? Slow down in a serious moment. Yeah. He doesn't have any of those movie, which is fine because the movie's very light.
So
there aren't a whole lot of super serious moments anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the other comedic relief, Tone Loc, they give that to him because when they go through that village that's been ravaged.
When he can really carry it.
Yeah. He's very stoic and he's like, they did it. It's like, they left people.
They know we're coming.
They know we're coming.
Yeah.
Which again, like usually in a movie when a character who's, and he, it's not like they just dropped him in. Like he had been previously established, but it felt very sudden how they, it felt like they kind of shoehorned him into their mission.
His hint,
just to have his, Tone yeah, Loc like there.
His willingness to go along with it. Because he follows them onto the boat in LA. And then like Zatch takes him out and Tone Loc is asleep for like 10 minutes of the movie. Then he comes out and they're like,
how'd you get out of the handcuffs?
And he's like, I had a key. He's like, I swallowed it on Tuesday. It's like, how'd you know you need it? He's like, I swallow it every Tuesday. Like, that's a funny random joke. Right.
But usually that gets on my nerves in movies, do that. Like, just drop someone in.
Yeah.
But he's so good, and I love this movie.
I think the part of, the part that I kind of raise an eyebrow is like he's all of a sudden like, I'm with you guys now.
Yeah.
And then he explains it as, I need a vacation. Plus, something just tells me I need to be a part of it.
It's your destiny.
Like, it's your destiny.
Well, yeah. But, hey, listen, but if everyone
to be fair,
else
that's a running theme of a movie.
I was
going to
say,
except Rob Schneider.
It works within, there are very few things that upset me. As long as you establish it and you stick to your universe's rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not the kind of, like, I'm from a theater background and a writing background, and this idea of, like, truth and facts aren't the same thing, and storytelling as truth and symbol, and, like, I'm not into, like, I think we really overplay the ultra-realistic, ultra-naturalist.
Sure.
Like,
right.
In our country, we're hyper-focused on super realism and supernaturalism.
Yeah. There's
and
no like suspension of disbelief. Yeah.
Right. Well, and so there's a lot of like poetic and symbolism in Southeast Asian storytelling. Even in over in Europe, you know, they have more experimental and things like that. And so for me, like, I'm willing to buy in. As long as you establish it and follow the rules of the universe that you've established.
Yeah.
So they've established that in their LA, in their universe, there's Patusan, there's destiny that can like imbue you with the ability to like, then I am fine with Tone Loc going because it's his destiny.
Yeah.
I have no problem.
I think my favorite character of Surf Ninjas, I think my favorite character would be the officer that
I was just about to ask you, what did you think of him?
Who's your favorite? Yeah. He's your favorite? Why is he your favorite? Do you know why? What is it about him you really, really like?
One, I like officers.
Okay.
Two,
he's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And three, he swallowed a key.
three elements to come. If you want to win Benjamin over, be a police officer.
Yep.
Be
funny
and swallow your keys. Yeah. Three good elements to a character.
I think what he's really saying is he likes a guy who's prepared.
Exactly. Yeah. And if nobody knows who Tone Loc is, he was a rapper in the 80s, Funky Cole Medina, Wild Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did a lot of acting in the 90s, Blank Check, this movie.
Yeah.
Did other stuff too.
Yeah.
And other things.
And other
well, it's
things.
Like the Gilligan's Island theme and all the rest.
It's like you left Marianne out.
And it's just
Marianne.
It's funny, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big guy. He looks menacing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
there's no
he
surfing
comes,
in the hood.
He just comes, you know, he goes with the flow of the comedy, like
so
the knife bit.
And like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
I love
it's like
that.
He, you know, Rob Schneider's got this whole bit
this
going.
Thing about
and
the
then,
knife.
And then Tone Loc just continues it.
Yes, and.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're going, they're finding this Patusani cave that's going to have these old weapons that are imbued with the blood and the sweat of 4,000-year-old warriors.
Yeah.
And like, and Johnny's going to, you know, it's destiny to use them and lead the army and stuff like that. And they're in the jungle walking.
Yeah.
And he's like, these are priceless knives. He's like, these are knives money can't buy. And Rob Schneider's like, money can't buy knives. He's like,
that's one of my favorite bits.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I went to the, oh, you're right. Money can't buy knives. I wish I could cut these limbs, but guess what? No money or no knives. You know why? Money can't buy knives. I went to the store the other day and said, I'll give you $10,000 for these knives. He said, oh, sorry, money doesn't buy knives. And he's just going on and on. And he's like, well, someone shut this monkey up. And Tone Loc is like, well, I'd stab him, but I don't have a knife. Yeah. It's so well played.
Yeah, so perfect. Yeah.
You know what money can't buy? Knives. Oh. You know,
it's
which leads to a cool scene in the cave.
Oh, yeah. That cave part is great.
You know what money can't buy? Humor.
You're right. You're right, though.
Yeah,
but true. No, that's a very good point.
Cannot, but I feel like he was taking a dig at you. Or all of us.
I'll take it in stride
because.
But he's right.
Yeah. But there's when they get to that cave, there's a really cool part to where Zatch is saying, "Here are these priceless weapons."
Yeah.
And he's essentially telling he throws Johnny a weapon and he's like, "Defend yourself." And Johnny's like, "What?" And Zatch starts coming at him with wielding this huge martial arts weapon.
Or as Ernie Reyes Jr. calls it, breakfast.
Yeah. It's like, morning, Dad. Defend yourself. Yeah. I just have a spoon. Yeah.
It's their morning routine.
It's like in the Pink Panther with Kato and Clouseau. Yeah. Just expect to be jumped at all times.
Yeah. But essentially, like, this is where Ernie Reyes is like startled, confused, frightened facials come in.
Yeah.
But then like he gets up and he starts showing how capable he is. So like he's like it's essentially it's like, if you don't stop attacking me, I'm gonna have to kick your butt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he just has like a staff he's defending himself with, and then he rolls out of the way and picks up like one of the more ancient sheath on this like pedestal. And he opens it up and there's like this angelic music that starts. And it's the classic like looking up around you and then like shrugging
he's so perfect.
Where's
so
that?
Good.
And then he has Zatch in a prone position and then he like does the Zorro swipe and he's like, don't mess with Zorro.
Everyone's like,
whoa, Johnny's amazing.
And he's so good. Like the other thing is there's just so much nuance in his transition that it's not like this, like he's not mugging, which you can tell when someone is mugging. So what I mean by mugging is they're pulling faces.
Yeah.
Because, what's your surprise face? What's your, whatever. And that's not what he's doing. Like there's nuances as he goes and he slowly works in just that scene. You see him work from camp to serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like this. It's like there's this transition mm-hmm. where he gets a little bit more, and then like becomes serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, grows up.
Yeah.
But it's not like this. But he manages to do that in such a short amount of time, but not in a way that feels.
Yeah,
like both of those elements are a part of him naturally,
and he's growing up. And that's what's so frustrating that he didn't make it bigger is because there were a ton of massively popular superstar martial arts actors who just got by on their martial arts.
Yeah, right. Not good.
Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, they're not good.
So terrible.
Jean-Claude's
but
better.
You know what they are?
What?
White.
It's very true. They didn't work for New Line Cinema.
And they didn't novelty. You know, you have a white guy that can do martial arts.
It's funny because it wasn't even a novelty at the time because all the guys doing martial arts were the white guys. Chris Norris.
Yeah. Chris Norris. Chuck Norris.
Aaron Norris.
Yeah.
His brother Jeff Norris.
Executive producer Aaron Norris.
Walker, Texas Ranger. Yeah.
Chuck Norris and... aside from Chuck Norris, those other two guys were also garbage human beings as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just so funny that the actual, I don't know, somebody who's actually like super skilled and a good actor and at least, as far as we know, he's not garbage.
I will say he landed on his feet. He trains MMA fighters. He choreographs.
He found a life. He's not living on the streets.
He was still in movies.
Mm-hmm. Like he does stunts and he should have been a leading man more than in this. But
movie.
He absolutely has the leading man stuff. And he just was not. It was just.
Things wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong places, wrong time. That sometimes
maybe
that just doesn't
maybe
do
that's
enough.
That's something he wanted.
And that's also the other thing is maybe he just once it passed him by, he was kind of like, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still like being in this world, but I don't need to be in front of the camera.
Doing all of this. So
maybe growing up in the industry, he saw things and said, I don't want that. You know, oh, yeah. I'm just, you
well,
know.
Clearly,
I'm
martial cool arts is yeah. his passion, and yeah. he's finding a way to use that yeah. as yeah. his right. job. So,
yeah.
And then it's not just, I think I might have mentioned this already. It's not just Chi that has like any of his serious notes
yeah.
mixed with humor. It's yeah. other, like, Zatch is supposed to be like this very stoic, serious yeah. character.
Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful straight man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but fantastic. He also like the kid, but the kids make him look foolish because yeah. they're, because
I
like.
I found Waldo!
Really?
Really? Psych! Yeah.
And then, and then when he's asking Adam if like he's feeling his seer powers come in, he's like, I see you. You're a leader of millions. You're a great warrior. And yeah. you're wearing a dress. Yes. And he's like, really? And he's like, psych.
Yeah. When there's a scene where they're escaping yeah. a bunch of bad guys yeah. and they're in yeah. a Jeep and they find dynamite. And like Rob Schneider just keeps throwing unlit dynamite at them. He's like, hey, idiot, light it. He's like, anyone have a light? And Zatch has a pack of cigarettes and a light. And he's like, well, I'm trying to quit.
Yeah.
And he's like, maybe you should try the patch. And then like Rob Schneider breaks the fourth wall and is like, look who I'm talking to.
Yeah, that's great.
He's like, I know, I should quit. I know I should quit.
24 hours to get that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and it's one of those, who is it that keeps, I think I've just heard multiple places lately where just talking about like one of the keys to comedy being just going ahead and playing it straight a lot of
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
yeah.
an
because
yeah.
the
like you said, he's a good
the
right, man.
Especially like, oh, you know what? It was all doing all the research for The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
how they kept saying, like, listen, the yeah. writing is so good. All you have to do is play it straight. Yeah. You don't have to yeah. try to be yeah. funny.
Right.
And I think there's a fine line, and clearly both he and his son mm-hmm. understand
yeah.
that line
oh, yeah.
mm-hmm. very well.
Yeah.
And are able mm-hmm. to go that line. So
yeah, but it is one of those things where that contributes to the seriousness of his character. How like you think he's gonna be this bad guy, but you see, yeah. oh, he's a good guy. But there's still this air of mystery and still
yeah.
this right. air of like to be taken serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It's one of those things where it's like I like him,
yeah.
but still. He's
yeah,
he's
yeah.
kind of frightening.
Is he really a good guy?
Yeah, yeah. It's
after
it's,
you find out he's supposed to be a good guy.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
yeah. Like when does he turn on?
Do
them?
We? Yeah. Do we trust
does.
Him?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing that to go along with no like visual kind of frightening mm-hmm. menace. There's really no like air of like dissension or air
no.
of like turning
no.
on one another.
It's very
it's
clear who's good, who's bad,
yeah.
and how this is going to
yeah.
turn out.
Exactly.
One thing I do want to point out, and this is the only thing that I'm like. Is they're all so now at this point the crew that we've been following for most of the movie the whole movie for some most of the movie for others
yeah.
They've freed these they find this Patusani chain gang
yeah. Yeah.
and these prisoners that they free, and that's a cool sequence. This whole time, like the whole time in the movie, Adam just wants to drive, so he ends
yeah.
up finding this Jeep of
yeah.
like Colonel Chi's men, and he like
yeah.
they all drive off, and like these Patusani or General Chi's soldiers are like
yeah.
following them or whatever, and then that's when they throw the dynamite.
Yeah.
So,
Adam, you're driving. Bitching, right?
yeah. So essentially they freed this clump of
yeah.
Prisoners.
Yeah.
And now they're gonna join the revolution. They're all like celebrating down this
yeah.
long runway. And
yeah.
like they're all celebrating this freedom of
yeah.
sorts. And
what
all these
saying? Saying when they were celebrating
Kwan-Su dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kwan-Su,
you're right.
It's like a celebratory.
Thank you for
yeah.
bringing that up, Ben.
Yeah.
That's like the tagline of the Kwan-Su dudes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's so they're saying everyone's saying Kwan-Su, which is supposed to be like a regional like dialect.
Yeah.
Phrase of sorts.
Yeah. Just
yeah.
kind of like whether yeah. it's celebratory or like. Kwan-Su, will you stop? To like
yeah.
kind of thing.
Like Aigu.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Korean.
Or like Aya or you know, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
From, yeah, different.
Yeah.
yeah in Korean, it's like Aigu. And I often am like, Aish, Aigu.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I watch nothing but Korean
drama.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Could be doing worse things.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah.
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 But. So now they're all celebrating. Now they're all on this mission
yeah.
to join and to execute this revolution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they can't get to Colonel Chi's island
yeah.
because they're
right.
waiting for them. So they have to go a roundabout way. So the way that they're like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And since Adam's a seer, like Zatch is like,
Adam, what do you see? And Adam looks at these trees, and all of a sudden these surfboards start popping up, and he's like, I know how we can do it. Then the next scene, all of a sudden they have like hundreds of surfboards, and then everybody like has this idea of how to surf.
Knows
and
how to surf. That's,
and there is that great song that you just were singing. And
I mean,
it's,
he does
it's,
teach it's, them how to surf. Yeah. In like kind 30 of. Seconds.
But then how do you get all the surfboards?
Yeah.
So
that's very true.
That's the only that's the only thing to where you talked about suspension of disbelief earlier. That's the only one where I'm like,
that kind of reminded me like of a highlights magazine where it's find the surfboard.
And they just pop up and then they all surf to the island. And it's a cool scene. And it's actually funny because some critics were like, for a movie called Surf Ninjas, there's not enough surfing. Yeah. And I was like, shut up.
That's your gripe? Really? Yeah.
It's actually quite a lot of surfing.
There's a bit. They open it with surfing. There's
they
surfing
surf in the car.
In the climax.
Moto surf.
Moto
surfing.
They're surfing when they find when the soldier with the harpoon gun is after them.
You know what? Actually, the least believable thing in the movie for me was that the white rich kids got pulled over for motor surfing and not the brown kids.
I was like, no.
L.A. in the 90s.
Speaking of, we got to talk about the Baba Ram.
Yeah, well,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're going to get a
We can retread that because now they're in Patusan and they're taking it. They have this battle with Colonel Chi's soldiers.
Good guys win.
Yeah, good guys win. Colonel Chi kind of has Johnny in a prone position with, like I said earlier, with an AK, but he got wet.
Yep.
So like his robotics are malfunctioning. And then the end of Colonel Chi, quote unquote, is Johnny has the sword and it looks like he's about to hit a death blow, but then he like stops and Colonel Chi's cowering and then he just does the classic pushes him
with the two fingers on that. Well,
during the battle, there's another running joke to where Colonel Chi's like main bodyguard gets pushed down a long flight of steps and you get this wide shot of him going, like the joke is he keeps coming back up and keeps getting pushed back down.
Three times.
At the end when at the coronation and Johnny's like, I'm gonna absolve like the
monarchy.
I'm gonna give it back to its people. And he's like, I'm just gonna focus on being a teen. If you wanna put my face on money, whatever, but like it's all you and like the guy starts treading back up the steps and he's like, 1 second. He's like, newsflash, your side lost. And so he was like, and he turned around.
But that
good call, Ben.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also this little bit to where Rob Schneider, a running joke, he's like, what he says, what if, blah, blah, blah. And then those things happen. And then like Zatch gets shot and he ends up being fine. He's like, what if I live? And he's like, hey, it works. And he's like, all right. And like hits him. He's like, and then like hits the, like, where the bullet.
Yeah. It's great.
Well, Tone Loc even chimes in on the what if. Mm-hmm.
Essentially that, I mean, that's the end. Then it kind of just cuts to like this end celebration a la, you know, Phantom Menace.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end.
Ewoks at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, the end of A New Hope.
Yeah.
You know, any sort of celebration. And Johnny's like, you know, I want to go. I want to be a high schooler. You know, I want to go kind of do my own thing. Monarchy's absolved, you know, kind of entrusting Zatch with things. Yeah. You know, he's like, govern yourselves. You know, whatever you
that has worked historically.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever you want to do to honor me, just do it. Let's call it a day.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends with this performance of Barbara Ann, toward the Baba Ram that was there in the movie earlier.
Did we mention that?
He shows up and like Johnny, who's this ne'er-do-well and this burnout as he seemed to be
at the beginning when
he's in school, slacks off. And but he was responsible for kind of being the spokesperson, or kind of being the representative,
the welcoming committee for this Baba Ram,
the spokesperson for all of Asia.
Exactly. And the principal at the beginning of the movie, they get to school and this limo pulls up and he's like, I was supposed to prepare a speech for the Baba Ram of like this dignitary, this
holy
sacred
man.
And the principal's like, let me use your terms, dude. Like, he clearly does not think highly of Johnny, to where you're like, if he's such a bad student, why did he entrust them with this responsibility?
I know.
And like when he introduces them, he's like, our Asian American student Johnny da da da.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, it's because he's Asian American. But then they get a wide shot of the audience. There are so many Asian Americans. We're like, there could have been. Why did you pick Johnny?
Not to mention, this is California, man. Yeah. He wanted Asian Americans in California.
He adapts Barbara Ann to Baba Ram. So he's a Baba Ram.
Yeah. Which is classic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So at the end, when Johnny. And
they bring it back
Kelly Wu are like walking up to like where his throne is, and everybody's being celebrated. The Baba Ram is there
because like, I know you.
Because like Zatch mentions earlier when they're walking through the jungle that Patusan is home of a great holy man.
Yeah,
ends up, it's the Baba Ram.
Who's like a great friend of
the king. Yeah,
and he's like, I know you. Very funny, rock and roll dude. And I was like, you didn't. They look like you had that attitude in the scene.
Yeah.
But then at the end.
He just did what the director told him.
Yeah. At the end, it's Adam, Johnny, and Iggy with the Baba Ram are doing it again. And everyone celebrates as the end credits.
And you sit there and say, I love this movie.
I love that story.
Well, at the beginning, the holy man didn't know that Johnny was the crown prince.
No.
Yeah.
He thought he was just some slacker. Yeah. Surfer dude.
Did you think the movie ended well, Ben? Was it satisfying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt good about it?
Yeah. Made you feel good. You're bouncing around and you're happy with the movie. Did you end up liking the movie, Ben? Yeah. Definitely something that
would
feel like.
Would you watch it again?
Yes.
Do you think your siblings will like it?
I don't really think.
I think Ophelia watched it with us.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah. But she wandered off many times in the movie. I don't think she got to see the end.
Well, she's six, so.
She's like, I know how it ends.
As you clearly displayed.
Yeah.
You guys already know how this rolls.
Yeah. Storytelling better than I did at that age. This ain't your first rodeo. Yeah. But that was Surf Ninjas. It's a movie we love. If you're listening to this, I'm sure either you're listening to it to hear us maybe crap on it. Well, good luck. We didn't.
No way, Jose.
No way.
If you want to watch it,
you're going to have to buy it, though.
Yeah, it's not really.
Or not that I'm endorsing it, but I totally am. You know, if you know how to do the...
Do not stop all the downloading.
It doesn't cost that much to purchase it legally.
How much did you pay?
We own it.
Okay.
I think I probably picked it up in the Walmart $5 bin.
I mean, it's
because I think I
was everywhere.
Like, I found it. There was like, oh my gosh, this was I probably sent you guys a text about it because it was after everybody was out of the house except for Tyler and Amanda, and I saw it in the bin. It's like, Surf Ninjas. I haven't seen this in years.
And it's people are just minding their own business. You're like, back, it's mine. I have the only copy.
Literally nobody else wanted it.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's actually on Vudu, maybe.
Is it on Vudu?
I think so.
No,
it's on Boo Boo and Moo Moo.
You know what? No, I love that joke from last week. I was laughing. I was almost in tears.
I watched that on Boo Boo.
I was almost in tears at that one. I had to like pull over. No, I thought it was on Vudu too, but when I went on there, you couldn't watch it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like it's one of those that if you want to pay apparently now $5.99 to rent things on Amazon Prime. So
I mean, you can do that.
You know, it's
or somewhere. Just buy it for $5 from
pretty
somewhere.
Much.
Yeah. You can get it pretty cheap.
Go to like Slackers or VStock or some resale store.
They do have it on Amazon that you can buy it, the DVD.
You can buy the VHS for
$70
on eBay.
I know, right?
No, on Amazon.
Oh, that
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. It was like $70 for a VHS or
10 years ago they were giving away the VHS.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's $70 because it's a collector's
item. It's hip
item.
and it's a collector's item and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So that was Surf Ninjas.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody. Mom, Samantha, right.
Definitely
Benjamin.
A lively
Thank
discussion.
I don't know why
Thank you for
I don't have
us.
A medal or some kind of prize.
You're going to have a post on Instagram.
We're getting there, yeah.
I don't even have the Instagrams.
Would you like a picture with the hosts?
No. Well, maybe.
Can I apologize to the audience for a second?
What did you want
to
say?
I wanted to apologize to all the people listening to this for all the brain cells you lost.
That's as good a way as any to end the episode.
If I were you, I would make that a part of your outro.
Yeah.
The time you can't get back.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Ben. Your presence has been very welcome. Yes, thank you all for joining us. Mm-hmm. And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.